through times of transition or times of turmoil. And in the lead up to the birth of Jesus, that first Christmas, Joseph found himself experiencing both unexpected and uncertain times, both times of transition and times of turmoil. Of course, as you may be familiar with, Mary was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit while she was pledged to be married to Joseph. As was read to us earlier in verse 18 from Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, it describes that. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Joseph found himself in this situation, and he needed reassurance. He needed reassurance about his situation, and he needed reassurance that God was actually in this, not removed from it. And that's why, among other reasons, the angel appeared to Joseph to reassure him. In verse 20, a couple of verses on, this is it says, "After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" And our English translation, "after Joseph had considered this," doesn't really do justice to the full sense of how Joseph was feeling, because the word in the original language for considered is a compound combination of words, which include being overwhelmed, which include being fearful, which include being upset, and even include being angry. So when we read about Joseph and considered this, yes, he was thoughtful, but there are a whole lot of emotions swirling around for Joseph in the midst of this. "And after speaking personally to him by name, saying, 'Joseph, son of David,'" what does the angel say next to Joseph? Words of reassurance. "Do not be afraid, Joseph." And again, the word used in the original language is the word phobos, from which we get the word phobias. And when someone has a phobia, whether it's spiders, whether it's flying, or for some people, whether it's public speaking even, what do they need? A lot of reassurance. And that's what God brings to Joseph here. He brings him a sense through the angel of his reassurance. But it wasn't just leading up to that first Christmas that reassurance was needed, because reassurance is still needed for many, if not all of us, in our life situations that we might face. Very different life situations to what Joseph faced. But because of those three or four words that the angel goes on to say to Joseph, and still says, God still says to us today, you and I can be reassured because of those three or four words, the ones that the angel says in describing the significance of the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, or God is with us. As we saw in that video clip highlighted, they were words that not only changed the course of history, but they are words that can totally change our lives and our outlook on them when we take in their significance. They are words that can give us reassurance like nothing or no one else can. Be reassured, not only over this Christmas season, but all of the time. First of all, by God, as we hear and take in these words, Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas and the birth of Jesus is above all about God. It's a God thing. Let's think for a moment about a few of those God things to do with the birth of Jesus. To start with, the way that Jesus was born was a God thing. He was born in an amazing way. He was born in a way that that no one else who's ever been born like. He was born in a way that could only be a God thing. Matthew describes it like this, and I've already read some of that to you. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And when the angel speaking to Joseph says, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And over in verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Only God could bring a child into the world like this. It's impossible and it's illogical if we look at it simply from a human perspective. But God is able to make possible what is impossible to us. God is able to work in supernatural ways that go over and above the natural course of things. And that is exactly what God did that first Christmas. The birth of Jesus was something miraculous. But so was much else about Jesus. His life was miraculous, the perfect nature of Jesus' life, as well as the miracles that he did. And his resurrection beyond his death was miraculous. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and all that led into and beyond those events were truly like no one else who has ever lived. Why? Because it was a God thing. This is God we're talking about, not simply another human being. But as well as the way Jesus being born being a God thing, the reason for Jesus being born was a God thing. Verse 21 points us to this when it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." There's one thing that characterizes life in this world. No matter what way you look at it, it's a sense of brokenness. Or it's a sense of things not being all that they could be. As we look at our own lives, we recognize this. As we look at the society around us, we recognize this. As we look at the world around us, we can't help but be aware of this. And at the heart of that is a broken relationship with our Creator God that's brought about by each of us and the rest of humanity, past and present, trying to live independently of God and His best for us and trying to do things our way instead of God's way. We as people have got ourselves in a bit of a mess because of choices that we've made, and the world is in a mess for the same reason. And that is why Jesus was born, to save us from our sin. God came to earth to rescue us from the mess that we got ourselves in. And if Jesus, and only God could do that, we couldn't save ourselves. And if Jesus was just like anyone else, he couldn't save himself, let alone anyone else. But he wasn't. He was Emmanuel, God with us. God who was not only able to be born, but who was as he was, but able to live a sinless life and able to die in our place and able to rise again so that we could have hope and life. Be reassured by God and all that God's done to make possible restoration of what's broken within us and around us in our world. But as we think further on this, Emmanuel, God with us, be reassured by the "with us" part of Emmanuel, God with us. In the original Greek language, the "with us" bit is actually placed first for emphasis. And why is that in the light of the significance of God with us? Well, I think it's because God has created us as people in such a way that more often than not, having someone with us is really, really important. Having someone with us in life, having someone with us in life's difficult moments, having someone with us through life is really important to most people. And knowing that we're not alone, no matter what we might be facing, is how God has created us or wired us to be. That's why it's so important to us. So when you look a bit closer, and even when you come to the Bible and you look a bit closer at not just the Christmas part of God's work, but the whole of God's work through the Bible, God is constantly reassuring people of what? His presence with them. It's there in Genesis, as God says to Abraham, "I will be with you." It's there as you move through Genesis and you go beyond Abraham to Jacob, when Jacob has this dream in Genesis chapter 28, And in the dream, God says to him, "I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go." And it's there right through the Old Testament. And as God's people found themselves time after time in desert places, as they found themselves in difficult places, in dark places, they began to question, is God still with us in the midst of our difficulties? Is God still with us in the midst of our daily lives? Is God still with us in the midst of the mess that we find ourselves in? And by the time you get to the prophet Isaiah, that question is being asked even more, as everything that God's people had ideally hoped would be the case isn't. And it's at that point that God says, this is how you will know, like never before, that I am with you. By the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And this the reading in Matthew is referring to or quoting those words first spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Those of you who know me reasonably well will know that I'm a pretty messy person. Michelle even claims that you can tell where I've been by the trail of things, that just follow the trail and you know where I've been. But as I touched on before, we are all messed up people who live life in a messed up world. The message of Christmas is not that God protects us from the messes of life in this world, but instead that in the midst of that mess, God is with us, which is even more significant and even more powerful. God is not far removed from us and our messes. God does not abandon us when we feel overwhelmed or helpless or fearful or insecure in the midst of the messed up nature of the situations we face or the messed up nature of the wider world around us. But no, God comes into our world where in us and around us there might be a sense of weakness or a sense of weariness or a sense of woundedness or a sense of something else. But God is there present with us in that. He's not with us just for a season. He's not just with us at the Christmas season. He's with us always. And when you come, we've read from the first chapter of Matthew this morning, when you go right to the last chapter in Matthew, the very last words in Matthew, God's words are, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. He's not just with us when the going is good, but he's with us when the going is tough. He's not just with us when we have it all together, but he's with us when we're all messed up. Through all the desert places of life, through all the seasons of life, Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder today, I wonder this Christmas season, do you need reassuring again that at the heart of Christmas is this truth? Emmanuel, God is with us. They're words from God for you and for me that are still just as relevant and can be still just as real today as they were for Joseph around 2,000 years ago. Sometimes we can lose sight of God's presence in the midst of the situations that we find ourselves in. Or we can lose sight of God's presence in the midst of all that's going on in the world around us. But no matter what, God is still Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to move into a time of prayer now. I'm going to start with personal silent prayer, where you can just reflect on what it means for God to be Emmanuel, God with you, in the midst of your life, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your questions, in the midst of your concerns. And then out of that, I'll lead you into a time of corporate prayer together, before we come to bring our gifts and offerings to God and sing a closing carol. But let's begin just with personal reflection before God, time of prayer, where you can just reflect on Emmanuel, God with you. Reflect on your situations, your concerns, your questions, and allow the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with you, be reminded of that in the midst of what it is that's on your heart and mind. Emmanuel, God with us. God, we bring our prayers together before you. And we pray now for those who are lonely, that they would know Emmanuel, God, with them. We pray for those who grieve, that they too would know Emmanuel, God, with us. For those who face uncertain situations in their lives, whether it be uncertain work situations, uncertain health situations, uncertain financial situations, uncertain family situations, we pray that they would know Emmanuel, God with us. For those who are marginalized and face persecution, that they would know Emmanuel, God with us. For those who are victims of injustice, or those who are victims of violence, or those who suffer in other ways, those words would be real and true for them too. For those who are aged and shut in, we pray that they would be reminded to Emmanuel, God with us. And for those who experience the brokenness of life in all kinds of other ways in their lives, that they too would come to understand or be reminded, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, God, for your presence with us and all that that means, not just here now, but wherever we are during our daily lives and whatever we face. We thank you not only for your presence with us, but your power to make a very real difference, your power to do what we are not capable of doing in and of ourselves, your power as God to work in ways that go over and above what we are able to as people. And we thank you for your purposes. Your purposes weave through history and your purposes through our lives. And the bigger picture of your purposes, even when we can lose sight of that at times, we thank you that you are working out your ultimate purposes, not only through history, but through our lives, and we're a part of that. Thank you for the purpose that you give to us in life. We look back and we thank you, God, for last week and the celebration service and festival, the way that your hand was upon that. We pray for the people of our community. We pray for those who came last week, and we pray for your ongoing work by your Spirit in their lives. We pray for this week ahead, for our Christmas Day service next week. We pray for our own reflection and renewal on the birth of our Savior, on the birth of our Saviour over this week ahead. We pray that we would not be so caught up in busyness, so caught up in everything else about Christmas, that we would we pray that that would not overtake the need for all of us to reflect on and be renewed afresh by the Saviour over this Christmas time. We pray for our world. Pray for the Middle East, particularly as we think of places like Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. But there are many other places in our world too that perhaps aren't quite as prominent in the media, and yet where there is much conflict, much injustice, and much suffering. And we pray that over this Christmas season and into the year ahead, that the light of Jesus would shine brightly into places of darkness, into the messes of life and the messes of this world, the messed up situations, that the light of Jesus would be shining. We thank you for our mission partners that we have, and we pray for them over this Christmas season. We pray for the Shores in Lebanon. We pray for Anthony and Jacqueline Jennings as they prepare to go, a matter of weeks now, before they head to Fiji to serve you there. We pray for Bill and Pauline Morrison and the work of Global Interaction, our Baptist mission with Indigenous people in Central Australia. Lord, we recognise that the Christmases for each of our mission partners will be different by nature of the fact that they're serving you. And so we pray for a special a blessing upon them over this Christmas season, and our other partners, strategic partners, Friends of Refugees, the ministry there, and a sports chaplaincy. We thank you, God, for your provision for us. You provided a way through Jesus for us to be restored into relationship with you. And you provide for us daily. As we think of the words, the words that you gave us, give us our daily bread. We thank you that you do. We thank you that you provide for us in many and varied ways. And so we acknowledge that as we come to bring our gifts and offerings to you now. We acknowledge that that you are our provider, and you've blessed us abundantly and in many ways. And we pray that that we would be out of that grateful and thankful, and acknowledging you as the one that, that is our King and our Lord and our Saviour. May our gifts and offerings be used to continue to extend your kingdom purposes in this place and beyond. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.